This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
You know we've got to find a way to bring some love.
11:10, welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan, 590thefan.com. Charlie Marlowe, Jim Huer, Brian Hoffman, Darren Atkins, the Peoria Plowboy, filling in all of us for Martin and Frank, who are live in... I guess you're always live, right? Live in Boston?
Yes, they are.
Frank joined us earlier. Martin at around
noon. They're on delay in Boston.
Dr. Rick in about 10 minutes. We're asking for your Blues texts. Let's see here. Overtime win tonight. Mark it down. Oh, Chara won't be a factor,
no,
just a body.
Overtime.
Tank scores two. Sunday night will suck down victory Budweisers in the streets. Skate, mate. And dominate.
That's like that.
Skate,
that's a great line.
Dominate.
I'll take it. I don't know if mine will take overtime tonight. I mean, my goodness. The one funny thing through this whole run, and it gets bigger and bigger as it rolls through, I have more and more people, guys, texting me, I can't wait till the morning. I'm tired of waiting around. I feel like a little kid again. I'm waiting for the game, and like, yeah, there's no game tonight. I don't know what you're going to do, but good luck to you. I mean, it really is. The anticipation has been off the charts.
I love, too, how the Cardinals, they made their doubleheader August 31st, and I'm guessing the strategy has to be, look, if you have a doubleheader today, you play this first game 12:15, the second game of the doubleheader, does anyone in St. Louis want to go to that second game?
No.
Wouldn't you rather watch the Blues game? And all due respect, we love the Cardinals, but it's game five of the Stanley Cup final. And I think even if you had a ticket to the second game of a Cardinals doubleheader on a night like this, I mean, this is history for the Blues. The Cardinals are going to have another, 50 home games. I think that was good strategy there.
Agreed, yeah. Cardinals are so far off the radar right now.
The Cardinal players probably want to watch the game.
It should be. Yeah, exactly.
Text line 855-282-8255. Frank's pick to click. I got to think about mine. I have another hour and 45 minutes. But Frank's was David Perron. Doug's Prison Wallet says, Frank just jinxed Perron. He'll have four offensive zone penalties tonight.
No.
Now. Thanks a lot, Frank.
Whoa. You don't need to jinx Perron to have him do that. He has the capability of doing that quite often.
He does all right.
Yeah, he does that without any help.
Splashback says, whoever is standing next to Berube in the pisse is my pick to click. Thinking another Gunnarsson. That could be the overtime thing. If it's overtime, I'd have to agree with that. Whoever is standing.
Is there going to be a line waiting to get to the urinal?
I want
to
go first. Coach is in there. Let me go.
This is 3-1-4. I think that 6-1 record in games 5 through 7 is not applicable because now there's an extra travel day to recover. I think that's a fair point. But still, overall, the Blues wearing teams down in a series, I think that's certainly happened. And if you are so physical and you're hitting a team for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games, those add up.
There is some truth into getting an extra day, but the reality is the Bruins have not faced a team that has beaten them up like this. They were close in Toronto, but Toronto doesn't play the heavy style. Boston skated through the next two series. They dominated. They haven't been beaten up like this. And the bumps and bruises at this point in the season don't go away in a day. The other side of this is if you're one of the defensemen, you're McAvoy, your crew, you're tired of going back there and getting your brains beat out. I mean, that's just a natural human being. You're going, I got to go back in there and bang, here comes Sundquist again. And bang, here comes Schwartz, who hits me. Tarasenko's even hitting me. I'm getting, oh, there's another turnover. There is some truth to this, but the Blues, with their style of play, that's why they have been beating up the opponents in the first three rounds.
Well, to me, I think the main concern for me in this game is overconfidence. Maybe not from the players or coaching staff, but as a fan, this has been, a long playoff run. You're talking a quarter of the season. We've gone into several games coming off a really dominant win like we did against Boston in game 4, and then you kind of somewhat lay an egg or underperform, or that opposing team just comes out firing on all cylinders. And I think it's hard to judge what we've done in series past, because I agree with the extra travel day. And Boston is a much more veteran-savvy team. I've been in this situation. Tuukka Rask is, I mean, he has really, really been phenomenal this whole playoffs. I think he still had a really good series up until this point. So it's hard for me to get too confident. I think if they played how they did last game, no team can beat them. So that's a good sign. But we've done this before. We've gone on the road or at home and had that confidence and been, you know, kind of, you know, disappointed at the end of the result. So
Carlos Danger texting in, Parayko is +6 in the playoffs. This is getting back to our previous conversation about the Ken Hitchcock line of your best players having to be your best players. Sundqvist is a +7. Somebody else texting in from the 5, that was the 573. This is the 618. The point you're making with all these guys is that your best players showed up, and they're being our best players. That's the difference. The contributors are being just that, contributors. And that's where I think in playoffs past, you haven't had all of the name guys step up. And we are at game 23, whatever it is. But I think sometimes in hockey, especially if you're in a salary-capped league, you can almost line up the salaries, and if those guys aren't performing, it's going to be really hard to win. And that's why if you look at this year's playoff run, first of all, everybody's had their moments. I mean, that's all the way down the line. However many 23 players, whatever it's been, everybody's had a moment in this postseason.
Bortuzzo's now playing tonight.
Bortuzzo, right, with a couple goals. But just look at Tarasenko, 11 goals. Your best player has been your best player. Your best regular season player, Ryan O'Reilly, 2 goals the other night, 18 points, tied with the team lead with Jaden Schwartz, a guy who has surpassed his regular season goal total, where he played almost 70 games in the postseason. So Schwartz stepped up. Alex Pietrangelo has been ridiculously productive. Colton Parayko is it fair to say, your best defensive defenseman?
Yeah, he's your
shutdown
guy.
The playoffs? So, I mean, right there, you're looking at the guys who are making the money, your top players. Those guys have stepped up throughout the postseason. And when one guy maybe has been missing for a game or two, somebody else comes in. I mean, Schwartz carried this team for 3 rounds. He's been quieter. Tarasenko has stepped up in the last couple rounds. Ryan O'Reilly has stepped up recently. Braden Schenn had a long period of time where he was not as productive. He's had his moments. David Perron, early in the playoffs, had more playoff goals this postseason than all of his playoffs previous. So you have all these different guys stepping up, and that's what you need when you're going to play maybe, 25 games, 26 games to win a Stanley Cup.
Amen. I can't say anything other than you're right, because over the course of a long stretch...
That's right, I am right.
Over the course of a long stretch, your stars have to come out and shine. It just doesn't happen without that. There's no doubt.
I think it's a statement that fans had uttered that I think is indicative of how weird this postseason has been, has Oscar Sundqvist suspended for a game and fans went, ah, crap. Like, who would have anticipated that
at any point in this postseason?
Like, oh, no.
If you're playing a game in February, Sundqvist is scratched, and I went, oh, okay, whatever. Who's next? But that's the reality of where this team is right now.
This is a good callback here from Carlos Danger. He says, part of the success is the fact that the Blues roster is so malleable.
Oh,
and that's true.
That is true.
100% true.
Right,
depth is important. I don't know if anybody was watching, but last night, Matten, after the radio show, hustles to Boston, does some live shots for Fox 2 at 9 and 10. And this is what I love sometimes about TV is sometimes you'll do a joke that's only for about 8 people.
We do it on radio
but it really makes me laugh. We do it on radio, too. But
right.
At the end... At the end of his live hit, he was tossing back to me. And I think his hit was about the moving parts of Chara and Grizzlick and what will happen. I think also, obviously, Bortuzzo in, Edmondson out. And he said, there's just a lot of malleable parts. Charlie, we'll send it back to you. And I just started laughing. And I was going to explain it, but then I think to myself,
just let it go.
It would take me 30 seconds to explain it, and it wouldn't even be worth it
right on
air, and we don't even have enough time. On TV, so...
I did get a text last night from a relative of mine wondering why Martin was not on a boat for his live show.
Well, that's how I teed him up, actually.
Oh, really?
I said, Martin, not on a boat, now with some more standard housing.
I did not know that.
But they stuck with this, you know, the Airbnb or VRBO route.
Yeah.
They have, like, a really cool apartment that some person is renting out, and they have a sweet rooftop. So their live shot last night was a really cool rooftop shot where you could really see a lot of... downtown Boston. It was a little dark, but still, it was a nice scenic
backdrop.
So, Brian Hoffman, we're We're calling Dr. Rick.
We're calling Dr. Rick.
All right. Buzz. In the meantime, more text coming in on the note, Doug's prison wallet, saying 91 has the second most playoff goals since 2014. And then he jokes, trade 91, as earlier in the year,
yeah,
some people were discussing that. Yes, with Tarasenko having the second most playoff goals since 2014 behind Alexander Ovechkin. I believe he's just one behind. So you got to think here in the next two or three games, he can surpass him there. The Banty Rooster texting in, want to feel good? Go watch the clip of Rask giving up two goals in 17 seconds to the Blackhawks in the 2013 Cup Final. Altsy says an easy overtime win. And he
says something. I don't know if any's easy in overtime.
Yeah, this is one of those things where I should always double read these texts. I don't know if any overtime win is easy. And then he talks about the team going to the bathroom together before overtime. I don't think that will have any effect, and I'll just move on from that. Yeah. My pick to click is number 20, Steiner. I think he has a scrappy goal deflecting off behind the net. Go Blues. And Hockey Bob says, my pick to click is just Blues win. All right, well, let's talk some Blues hockey. Some injury discussion is at the forefront of Game 5 tonight with Dr. Rick Lehman joining us now on the program. Dr. Rick, how you doing?
I'm good, you guys. How are you?
We're doing great. We've been talking the last couple of days how hockey players, as we all know, are notoriously tough slash crazy. And that's why after you hear that Zdeno Chara has this broken jaw, it honestly wouldn't surprise me that much if he played tonight, just because hockey players are nuts, and he was out there giving it a go today at the skate. What do you think about Chara with a broken jaw trying to play a hockey game 2 days later?
Well, you know, so your point is very well taken. They're all nuts. And, you know, they'll put him in a shield, and he'll try to skate. Now, whether the jarring of the skating going front to back is going to be too much is hard to say. They actually will numb him up. There's a little area, there's a little nerve, your facial nerve, that they'll numb him up, and they'll give it a go. The problem is, you know, the first time he gets rocked, I'm not sold that that's going to be okay. And I think it's very hard this early to play with a broken jaw. I would say 2-3 weeks, which obviously he'll be playing golf in 2-3 weeks. It's not going to be a factor. So I would be surprised if he could actually go tonight.
And so the reports are that he has a broken jaw. The team obviously isn't confirming that or saying anything. NHL teams are notoriously, they don't give us very much, especially in the playoffs. I'm just wondering, though, if you just hear broken jaw, are all broken jaws created equal? Are there lesser fractures and greater fractures? Could this just be something that is, I don't want to say it's not as big of a deal, but is it something that could be more minor?
Well, he has a mandibular crack, so where his teeth kind of got crunched, he has a so he doesn't have the type of jaw fracture where if somebody punched you in the face, you know, like a boxer gets. So he has a little crack in the upper part. So yes, he doesn't have as bad a fracture as you could have, but still, you know, that's a facial structure that supports your chewing, opening your mouth, closing your mouth, your breathing. And I still think it's going to be kind of uncomfortable. And the real question is how well they can numb him up. Because if he can play numbed up, he'll play. And, again, the real question is not so much can he skate. It's the jarring going front to back. And, you know, someone's going to cross-check him, obviously, high right out of the gate and see what happens. And that's going to be the telltale sign.
What's the recovery like that with that? Do they have to – let's just say the season ends, the jaw still in pieces – they wire it shut? Like, how do they recover from that?
So if you have an unstable fracture, they do wire your mouth shut. And today, you know, that's a little old school. They put plates on the fracture. And actually, if they had plated the fracture, usually you can play in a week. Now, that doesn't do Boston any good, which is why they're probably waiting to see what happens. But generally, if the fracture is in good position, it's going to heal. And as it heals, you know, his activity will increase. So he's going to be better in 4 or 5 days than he's going to be tonight, et cetera.
We're talking with Dr. Rick Lehman. Get your texts in with your medical questions for Dr. Rick at 855-282-8255. Previously, somebody wanted to ask you about Yachty. Jim in Crestwood says, Dr. Rick, on Molina's slight tear of the thumb forefinger, is it still 2 weeks or is there a chance of surgery? That's from Jim in Crestwood, talking about Yachty has this thumb tendon strain?
Generally, those are not fixed. You know, he's had some issues, collateral ligament injuries in his thumb before. Good guy fixed them, and he's had it fixed twice, and generally, where that tendon irritated strain is, you're going to inject it, maybe PRP it, rest it a little bit, but it'd be unlikely that he's going to need surgery for that.
Dr. Rick, I'm wondering, because we always hear about guys being fast healers, and I'm wondering about the human body. Is that true with some guys, whether it's their bone structure or tendons and ligaments just healing faster than others? Because it sure seems like, I mean, there are guys that you hear, okay, they're going to be out for this period of time, and you can almost say, okay, just double that. But then a guy like Yachty, this is off the top of my head, but I swear every time he has an injury over the last 10, 15 years, if they put a timeline on it, I feel like he only serves about half that time. I mean, are guys just faster healers?
You know, it's interesting. In 30 years of this, some guys will come back and you'll see him at, and it's even post-surgical, you'll see him at 2 or 3 weeks and they have no swelling, great range, and you're like, wow, that's amazing. And then you see people at 2 or 3 weeks and you're thinking, oh, this is going to take forever. So hammies especially, ligamentous injuries in the thumb and the wrist especially, and some people really do, and you don't know why. I mean, it's genetics, obviously. Just come back from these things. They have very little swelling. They have generally good motion right out of the gate, and they heal very quick. And then some people, it's just continually sore, doesn't seem to get – like KD is a perfect example. You know, he should have been back already. And, you know, he's just kind of lingering. And some of these people just don't heal as quickly, and then some people just seem to bounce back. And I definitely think it's a genetic thing.
Dr. Rick, you mentioned Kevin Durant. Klay Thompson also missed last night's game. The Warriors, I'm seeing on ESPN, are hopeful to have them both back for Game 4. I'm not sure if that's hopeful from a medical standpoint or hopeful from just a we need them if we want to win this series standpoint. But from your opinion, especially with Klay Thompson, the hamstring injury on such a short-term basis, how effective can he be if he plays in the next game?
He's going to be a little tough. I mean, you know, I don't know. I think he will play, and I have a little inside information. I think he will play. I don't think he's going to be the Klay Thompson of pre-injury. I think he's going to be a little slow. His ups will be a little slow. First step will be a little slow. But KD is a different thing. I think there's some other issues going on there. I think there's some hurt feelings and some other issues going on there that may be maybe a factor. But I think Klay Thompson will play. I think without both those guys, I mean, you know, the Raptors are a tough team, and I think it's hard to win without your best player. So they got thumped last night, and I think if Klay Thompson's 50% and KD doesn't play, you know, they may get thumped again.
Dr. Rick, national stories I saw within the last week or 24 hours, I don't remember, but a couple of Americans have died going out of town on vacations and resorts. I know you've traveled outside of the United States. What are some of the precautions that you need to do if you're going out of the United States for a vacation coming up?
Well, you know, there's one of the stories is this mini bar thing. These people have been going to these mini bars and getting these weird diseases and dying. So I thought that was, mm-hmm. You know, maybe you shouldn't go to the mini bar. I don't know. I think you get weird diseases. The first question you get asked in the emergency room when you have something is, hey, have you been outside the country? So you got to get your immunizations. You know, you got to not drink the water wherever you are. I don't care what they tell you. The water's fine. That's BS. Don't drink the water. And I think you have to be very careful about where you eat in these places. I mean, I know when I was a kid, we used to travel. I played professional tennis, and we'd eat on the streets, and it was cheap. And we'd be in these crazy tournaments and eat this junk. And, you know, almost invariably somebody would get sick. So don't eat food off the streets. You know, go to a reputable place. Don't drink the water, even though they tell you it's fine. And for sure, you know, any open mini bars, open things that have food, just stay away. You just have to be very – like when I travel now, I bring like 50 bars. You know, I bring Cliff Bars and all these bars, and I eat that stuff just because I'm a little bit nervous about just kind of the food products.
So skip the mini bar, go to the big bar. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, go to the real bar.
Yeah.
The real stuff.
Dr. Rick Lehman, get your text in, 855-282-8255. A recent New York Post article says, study suggests e-cigarette flavorings may pose heart risk.
So this just gets worse and worse for Juul and for, you know, when e-cigarette thing came out, it made a lot of sense, right? You're going to do e-cigarettes, you're not going to smoke, and that's great. You know, smoking's bad. Well, I just think that every article, Scientific, New York Post, New York Times, doesn't make any difference, just paints more of a bleak picture for e-cigarettes. And I just can't tell the listeners enough not to do it. I mean, go back to smoking your Marlboros or your Camels or filterless cigarettes. They're better for you than these e-cigarettes. There's just so much bad stuff in them. So I just think you get wanked out smoking these things, and I just think the additives are bad, the coloring is bad. Now the article tells you that the coloring, the flavoring, gives you vasoconstriction, you know, like a mini heart attack. So again, I just think that this just turned out to be a bad idea.
So if you watch Mad Men, a lot of it is because they do deal with Lucky Strike a lot. How do you make a safer cigarette? So Dr. Rick, what you're saying is the tobacco industry went and just made something unhealthier, worse than cigarettes, to draw people back to cigarettes.
Well, you know, if that was the intent, they're geniuses, and kudos. I mean, that's awesome. But I just think, you know, it was a good idea. We're gonna substitute this for that, and it's healthier. And then, just like most things, you know, as more and more time goes by, and you get more and more information, you know, now it turns out that information tells you, hey, it's not only healthier, it's 10 times worse. Juul is the worst of the worst. I mean, that's just, this is terrible. You know, that's just like a mini cancer. Just, you're smoking it right in your lungs, and just terrible. So the bottom line turns out to be that the whole e-cigarette idea, although the concept was good, the way that this has come about has made it very, very unhealthy. There's no regulation. It's very accessible. And when they're looking at the byproducts and what goes into this stuff, it's just one thing's worse than the next. So, yeah, go back to your Lucky Strikes and look like John Hamm and, you know, be happy.
Dr. Rick, I'm not sure you noticed last night during the Golden State NBA Finals game, Kyle Lowry on a play towards the sideline was shoved by, at first believed to be a fan. It has since come out, a report that it was a minority owner for the Warriors, Mark Stevens. Now, you have been involved with professional hockey teams. I'm curious, did a time ever occur to you where you wanted to punch or shove a player, an opposing player?
Well, you know, so if you're Drake or you're somebody, you have access to the sidelines and maybe you could hit somebody. But in hockey, it's a little tough. You know, you're either in the doctor's room or you're in the owner's box, so it's a long way down to the ice. But certainly in many, many situations where I've been at camps and rookie camps and, you know, you do get the sense, you know, you get kind of caught in the moment and you want to punch somebody or you want to get into it. Bad idea. Guys are bigger and stronger than, you know, old white owners. So I wouldn't recommend it. But that's a terrible story because, you know, there's just no call for that.
Dr. Rick, another New York Post article recently saying ultra-processed food linked to early death, health problems from scientists there, which is kind of an obvious headline, but I'm wondering, I mean, when you say early death, how quickly are we talking about here?
So this is an interesting article because basically what they looked at is people that eat ultra-processed food. So what are those? You know, Burger King, Wendy's, stuff that comes in a package that's all cooked and processed that has preservatives and all the bad stuff, all the reasons not to eat it. You know, the opposite of farm to table. And so it was basically a demographic study, and they found, so they looked at hundreds of people, and they found that your chances of dying in any given year are 60% higher if your diet consists of eating ultra processed food three times a day. Now again, that's supersized. I mean, no one eats, well, I shouldn't say no one, but most people don't eat ultra processed foods you don't go to McDonald's three or four times a day. Most people don't do that. So I think it's a little specious, but the message is the same, and that is your chances of dying in any given year go through the roof if you just eat foods that come in a package, that are pre-made, pre-cooked, et cetera, and have very little nutritional value, lots of preservatives, and lots of these little plastic balls that all these processed foods have in them. You know, plastics are made up of these little microscopic balls, and apparently there's 100 billion of them or something in the floor of the ocean. but a lot of them end up in processed foods. And based on that, you want to try to stay away from that stuff.
A question from the text line, which is 855-282-8255, from the 618. What causes heart palpitations? Last week I had them. I stayed busy, did a lot of walking, and they went away.
So heart palpitations generally are when you have either your heartbeat is too fast, quote-unquote tachycardia, or you've missed a beat. And if it happens once in a while, it's normal. If it happens all the time, you got to go to your doctor and get an EKG because there could be something wrong with your heart. The guy answered the question correctly, and that is exercise. So the best thing you can do if you have a history of heart palpitations is try to bump up your resistance exercises and your cardio exercises, and usually gets a little better.
Dr. Rick, appreciate the time as always. And my takeaway, my headline, which I'm going to tweet out, is Dr. Rick Lehman encourages you to smoke Marlboros. That's my headline.
Chris Gardner will be thrilled to hear this.
Thanks, Dr. Rick.
Take care.
Thanks, Doc. That was funny. That's Dr. Rick Lehman joining us here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box, 590 The Fan, 590thefan.com. Charlie Marlowe, Jim Huer, Brian Hoffman, Darren Atkins, the Peoria Plowboy. Brian Hoffman, we have
Charlie Marlowe.
Martin checking in around noon.
Around noonish.
We'll take a break here, but first,
Dr. Michael Jones, 1-855-260-EYES for any and all of your eye care needs, especially if it's cataracts or LASIK. Dr. Michael Jones is a board-certified ophthalmologist. It doesn't come easy. Also an assistant professor at St. Louis University, part of the Quantum Vision Center family. And we also have the Gatesworth, the finest in senior living, 1 McKnight Place. Also visit thegatesworth.com for more information. Once again, Dr. Rick, Chris Kerber, Frank Cusimano, all joined on the Maryville University listener line. Visit maryville.edu for more information.
All right, we'll take a break and be right back with more Blues talk before Game 5 tonight. And teased it a couple times, but the Cubs signing Craig Kimbrell last night to a 3-year deal. That's coming up next on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.